Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The sermon text is the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 6. You can find that printed for you in the bulletin to follow along. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You heard Jesus in the gospel reading give a command after a command after a command. What'd he say? Give to the poor. Pray and fast. No if, but rather when. When you give to the poor, when you pray, when you fast. In other words, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, expects us to do these things, to give and to pray and to fast. Not to make a show of it, not to gain the world's praise and adoration, not to get brownie points from others. Why? Why do we do these practices? Why are we commanded to do these practices? Well, let's look at them, shall we, briefly. What does the Lord say about giving to the poor? What does he say about acts of mercy and kindness? Matthew 6, verses 2 through 4, Jesus says, "Thus when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you." Now, it's easy for us to fall into worldly, self-gratulatory ways. I mean, just think about it. How often have we been hurt here in the church, here in this place called Grace, when we have done something nice for someone and we did not get the recognition that we thought that we deserved? Jesus tells us straight up in Matthew chapter 6 that we are not to do good for others to gain their approval, to gain their praise, or else that is all we will get. That will be our only reward. So puny, so tiny, so temporary. But what does the Lord say? Give, not letting the left hand know what the right hand is doing, so that then the approval you get is from the Father, the Most High God. And His approval is the only approval that counts and that matters. But what does the Lord Jesus say about praying? Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." All the world is not a stage for us to flaunt our prayer life. I mean, prayer is meant to be a private matter between God and you, God and me. The goal of our prayers is not to be heard by others, so that we flatter them, so that they're impressed by us, but that God would be heard by us, so that we have our prayers answered by Him, and so that we receive blessing from Him. And then we get to fasting. What does the Lord say about fasting? Matthew 6, verses 16 through 18, Jesus says, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Now, we can totally get behind supporting the poor, giving to the needy. We can totally get behind praying. I mean, we do it every single day, don't we? But fasting, really? Fasting is so foreign to us, isn't it? And yet there are Jesus' words confronting us. When you fast, just like praying, just like giving to the poor, the Lord expects us to fast. Now, don't you dare think that fasting is just a Roman Catholic practice. Even for you good Lutherans, we should never ever think that. I mean, Martin Luther in the Small Catechism actually assumes that we will fast. Here's what he says in the sixth chief part of the Catechism on the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the altar. Fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training. Fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training. Now, sadly, we have a skewed understanding of fasting. We think fasting is just about giving up Netflix or chocolate or a glass of wine every night for 6 weeks for the season of Lent. Folks, that is abstaining from something. That is not fasting, not by a long shot. Fasting is about giving up a meal. Giving up a meal. Leaving your stomach hungry and growling and aching. But why? What's the purpose of fasting when it comes to our devotion to God? What's the spiritual aspect of fasting? Behold the man, the God-man, Jesus. Dear friends, where have you heard those words before? Behold the man. You've heard these words before, haven't you? But where? Behold the man. Before a bloodthirsty crowd, Pontius Pilate hauled out a freshly flogged Jesus, wearing a thorny crown and a faux royal robe to ridicule him, to mock him, to make fun of him. Now, Pontius Pilate does not zip his lips. He looses his lips and he lets out those words, "Behold the man." Now, those are the words that we will read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest this Lenten season, which kicks off tonight. Behold the man. Now, we don't worship some spiritual deity that's floating up there in the clouds, but a God who has become man. The creator has become the creature. The if infinite has squeezed himself into the finite. The word has been made flesh. Right? God has become one of us. Behold the man. As Pastor Paul puts it in Colossians 1:19, for in Jesus all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Yes, behold the man. Jesus has skin and bones, teeth and hair, heart and lungs, blood vessels and lymph nodes, blood and saliva, ears, nose, eyes, lips, tongue, neck, arms, torso, legs, feet. He has a brain, folks. Behold the man, Jesus. He walks, he talks, he eats, he weeps, he cries, he laughs, he bleeds, he dies, he rises, he ascends, he sits, and he will come again in glory. Behold the man. Jesus is fully divine and fully human in a single person. Behold the man. Jesus has DNA and fingerprints. Behold the man. Jesus is our brother, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. But there is one ginormous difference between Jesus and you, Jesus and me, and you know that difference. Jesus is without S-I-N, sin. See, his flesh is not corrupted. His flesh is not stained by the rebellion of Adam in Genesis chapter 3. But sin, has infected us and made us subhuman. That's what the fall is about, dear folks. We are less than human. Not Jesus! Oh, he was tempted in every way like we are, but without sin. His desires were never out of whack, never distorted into greed and coveting and lust and idolatry. Behold the man. Jesus is as human gets, as human as he intends to make each of us in the resurrection on the last day, when we will be perfect as he is perfect. But why fasting? Why fasting? Behold the man. Jesus fasted. Now that's our reading for this Sunday. The gospel reading, Luke chapter 4, the temptation trifecta. You're going to hear all about Jesus fasting for 40 days. You're going to hear these words, Luke 4, verses 1 and 2. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. No duh, he was hungry. I mean, this honestly could be the biggest understatement in the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. I mean, who wouldn't be hungry after going 40 days without food? We would all be starving Marvins. But a hungry Jesus should catch our attention. It really should. After all, in the OT, the Old Testament, God doesn't hunger. He doesn't eat, he doesn't drink. As the psalmist says in Psalm 50, verses 12 and 13, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and all its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? God doesn't eat. But all of that changes, doesn't it? With Christmas. With the babe born of Bethlehem. Yes, God takes on flesh and blood, but he also takes on a stomach. And his stomach, like our stomachs, needs food. And so there you have Jesus nursing at his mother's breast. There you have Jesus experiencing all these new vegetables and fruits as a toddler and a child. There you have Jesus feasting on the Passover lamb with his extended family. Jesus is a God who can eat, who must eat, so that he can fast, so that he can say N-O, no to the devil's tantalizing treats of provision, prestige, and power, and be obedient unto death, even death on a cross. So that by his fasting, by his praying, by his giving, he can be the man that redeems all men. Behold the man, Jesus, there on the cross, praying to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Behold Jesus, who gives all that he has, even his own life, on the tree of the cross for poor, miserable sinner you, for poor, miserable sinner me, so that he could make us richer than rich, the richest in the cosmos, giving us treasures in heaven, treasures that can't be destroyed or stolen, treasures that last forever. Behold the man, Jesus, there on the cross, thirsting, so that by his thirst, he can quench our thirst for power, for success, for man's approval, for earthly gain, for material possessions, satisfying the desire of every living thing, satisfying your desires and mine. No, everything that Jesus commands us to do in Matthew chapter 6, he has already done. As a man, the God-man, Jesus gives to the poor. He prays, he fasts perfectly for you, for me, and as those who have been baptized into this God-man, this Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. We now hear the word gladly, and we willingly begin to do it. Dear friends, we embrace these practices, not to save us, but because we already are saved. And the Lord Jesus promises to use these practices to keep our eyes fixed on him who is the author and perfecter of our faith, the Savior of sinners, your Savior and mine. So give. Give to the church. Give to the needy. Give to those organizations that care for the poor until you know deep down in your gut that wealth and success and material possessions is not the source of everlasting ultimate happiness and contentment and peace. Pray. Pray until you realize that your agenda, your calendar, your schedule is not your God. That time is not yours, but time belongs to God. It's his time, not your time, not my time. His time. Fast. Fast and let your growling gut teach you that your belly is not your God. That your stomach is not in control of you. That your stomach is not the capital B boss of you. That the hunger behind all hungers is the hunger for God himself. As Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Yes, let hunger pangs drive you to this place, to the Lord's Supper, where the word is attached to the bread and the wine so that the Lord Jesus himself can reach to you food that endures to everlasting life, food that never perishes, and drink that satisfies your deepest thirst, your deepest longings. Dear friends, let us return to the Lord this Lenten season and all seasons of the church year. After all, he has a chair open for each of us, a seat with your name on it in mine. What are we waiting for? Here our Lord Jesus stands with arms wide open, ready to welcome us back home. Everything here is ready. In the bread, in the wine, behold the man. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.